frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
six, five, four, three, two, one, zero. Blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Try this again. You're listening to the Mad Science Show at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you have access to not one but three separate chat rooms. So, with that said, all right, well, here's the thing. All right, sorry to those folks over there at People for People Radio and all the other networks listening in, because we're having a bad day. So we need that old happy face hat. For when you are having a good day, which ain't today. So anyway, my lovely granddaughter plugged in the toaster and blew the breaker. I told you folks, duct tape and bailing wire. Duct tape and bailing wire is what holds Shaziz Radio Network together. It's okay. We'll be all right. And, you know, I got backups, but sometimes it takes a little while to get the backups going. So anyway, we're back, and hopefully we'll stay back. And hopefully nobody will plug in the toaster or the vacuum sweeper or any other device that's going to blow the breaker. See, I got a lot of computers running here. Plus, you know, whatever else is running. If there's too much running, pow, there goes the breaker. That's one of the things about technology, you know. Technology can be a lifesaver, I guess. But it also can be obnoxious as well. So, anyway, we're back. We're doing fine. We're still alive. And my granddaughter has her toast. Anyway, if you're over there at the superchat.html, that's where you can find all the links to everything, especially if you scroll up above the chat, you'll find a resource link for Stephen Gibbons that so kindly put together, took a lot of time and effort into compiling a list of links and technologies to other researchers and YouTube channels and so on and so forth. Then he's constantly adding to us. Thank you very much for that, Stephen. And I hopefully everybody over there at Shaziz is hearing us good. Alright, so anyway, I'm trying to get everything back to where it was, where I can see where everything's at, which would be nice. And for some crazy reason, finally, the other computer decided to start working again. Alright, back to the deal here. As soon as that comes on, I gotta turn that off or it's gonna blow us out of here.
Fine. We're still alive.
I hear myself talking. Alright, so modern day technology, old technology, new technology, or whatever. Nonetheless, we're all here to learn about free energy and electricity and stuff like that. See, here's the thing. I started off years ago because I got in a feud with the power company. And the power company shut me off in the worst possible time and basically had absolutely no kind of compassion or mercy or safety net or backup plan for those folks that fall on hard times. And the crazy thing about it was I only missed my shutoff notice by one day. One day. I didn't pay it on time and click, there went the lights. And had I had alternative energy resources available to me, I could have just powered it right back up. The only thing I had, though, at the particular time was a couple of junky old generators that wouldn't put out enough wattage to run the entire house, just a certain amount of things, like a couple lights and some fans and maybe a little tiny TV or something like that. And it made life miserable for my wife and kids because, you know, it came about the worst possible time. And so anyway, I kept trying to negotiate with the power company, and I said, you know, look, is there any way possible you can work with me? Because I'm running these generators to try to keep some power going on, and I'm basically getting myself either electrocuted or nearly blown up because these old raggedy old generators just they're junk. They're not cutting the mustard. And so they weren't going to have no part of that. They weren't going to help me out. And they said, well, all you got to do is pay all your bill up current. Because, see, what happened was I was on that, what they call the level payment plan. And that's so that you get the same bill every single month. And you're not surprised by the value of your price of your bill. And supposedly you're supposed to, at some point, develop a credit. What they don't tell you is if you happen to get shut off before you get it turned back on, you got to have a $700 deposit plus pay your bill up current, which put me at around about close to $2,000 or more dollars in order to get my power back on. There wasn't a way, because I was on a financial hard time, that I could get my power back on because I didn't have the funds to do so. So anyway, they didn't want to negotiate with me, didn't want to work with me, is pretty much pay it or you don't have electricity. And so, you know, after a couple months of this, I finally was able to get some financial assistance and actually got the doggone deal. And I failed to mention that back whenever the gas prices was up at $4 a gallon, that's when I was running these generators. And at $4 a gallon, you can imagine it's costing me more money in the long run to run what little bit of power I could eke out of these two junky generators in order to be able to have electricity for my family. So anyway, you know, after I finally got my power back on, they made a mistake and they turned it on before I paid the $700 deposit. And according to the laws where I'm at, they can't shut you off for a deposit. So once they turned me back on, it was sorry about their luck. And they never did get their $700 deposit. Well, at least not directly. I'm sure they probably milked a penny here or there until they finally got it back. But nonetheless, they didn't get it from me the way that they, you know, would like to have it up front. Anyway, so, you know, once I was back on and got everything situated, I sat down and wrote a letter to the head of the power company, and I said, look, because of the way that you treated my family, and because of the fact that you had no safety net, no kind of backup plan for people that fall on hard times and stuff like that, I said, I am going, and because of the disrespect that your employees showed me whenever I'm begging for mercy, I said, I am going to study everything that there is to know about alternative energy. And once I get that accomplished, I'm going to share it with each and every one of your customers for free. And so when your wallet gets thin, you're going to have me to blame for it. And I'm a man of my word. I keep my word. So, basically, I've been researching for quite a many years, not to mention all the, you know, I've always been into science and technology since I was a child, but once I actually had a goal or a mission to accomplish, then I really went full stream at it, and I started my lab, I started doing videos, and I knew at that point in time that there were issues that were going on with alternative energy researchers where they didn't fare so well, so they started getting whacked, if you know what I mean, you know. They'd be suicided or have car accidents or all kinds of stuff. And so I knew if I'm going to put this information out there that I want to put out there, I got to do it in the most creative manner possible. And so I put together a crazy YouTube channel, and then I actually put together a website to encode with secret messages and all that kind of stuff, and a standby website for the day that I release every single thing that I got to the public. So that, you know, once it's out there, it's out there. And that's when I decided, well, now that I've got the platforms together, I'm going to build a network, a radio network, and I'm going to start broadcasting ideas and stuff like that and trying to bring people to the table. And once I thought I gathered a large enough crowd, then that's when I'd kick in at Shaziz.net. So if you go to www.shaziz.net, and you'll find a page there. That page is parked, alright? It's an entire website that's parked, and it's ready to go. And the moment that the time is right, I'm going to hit the button. And that's probably going to be one of the most popular servers for alternative energy out there, because people want to download it and all that kind of stuff. But that's not the only plan I got. I got a backup plan for a backup plan for a backup plan, because I aim to keep my word to the power company and the people that I told about free energy. So that's a brief rundown. I got a letter back from the doggone power company, pretty much not necessarily apologizing, but more or less, you know, sorry for your inconvenience and that kind of stuff like that. But they did drop the deposit down to from $700 to like $250. But once again, they didn't get paid. They didn't get the deposit because they made a mistake and turned me on before. So I've been fighting with the power company for years, and the fact that you know, they have you know, issues, and that they the way they treat people and way that the people are basically enslaved by the power company. You're under the thumb of the power company. If you don't pay your bill, you get shut off. And if you try to go off the grid, then you got to fight with the government. Even though the government puts out these lies and propaganda about energy crisis and global warming and carbon emissions and all that kind of stuff, even though all those lies are being perpetrated on the people, you try to go off the power grid and they will find ways to try to tax you anyway, to try to fine you. You know, like you got to be at least on the power grid with maybe a grid tie inverter with your solar and your wind so that, you know, they can still get some money off of you because they need the taxes for their infrastructure, for their power, whatever. But that ain't the way it should be. You know, once the hydroelectric dams were built and everybody got situated, that was free energy that the power company's selling to the public. Now, I can understand maybe a maintenance fee that you pay a little bit to help maintain the deal, but the prices of electricity have gotten completely and utterly ludicrous. That's just a hydroelectric dam. And when it came down to nuclear power, they had made a promise that you'd have cheaper bills and more reliable service, and once that came about, well, then the same shenanigans occurred, where you're going to pay a lot more for nuclear power than you would be for hydroelectric. You know, it's just, that's the way the crooked cookie crumbles. And that's the way they've been doing people forever and a day. And I'm for one, and tired of people, being taken advantage of. I'm tired of people being stolen from and lied to. When basic science says one thing, and then mainstream science tries to contradict it because they want to get their grants for their global warming research, or, you know, mating habits of a snail and stuff. Well, you know, they're going to say whatever they can to get the money. They don't care about the truth or real science or people for that matter. They talk about saving the planet, and in the process of saving the planet, make a mess of the planet, which in my mind is pure ridiculousness. So I set out to try to gather all the brilliant minds that I could find that were interested in alternative energy research, and I tried to bring them to the table here at ShazizRadio.com and other networks. I posted links like such as down there for Mark Brash of Zero Fossil Fuel, Russ of RWG Research, different researchers down there, plus, like I mentioned earlier, Stephen Gibbons, he made a deal for all the different research links that he could find. And so I got this little thing that pops up in the background every once in a while. Every time somebody puts a comment in, it goes bloop, bloop, and it drives me nuts. So I got to get rid of that. Yeah, he compiled a whole lot of links for you to information, and that's what this whole thing the whole purpose of this ShazizRadio.com, that's it. The whole purpose was to basically bring researchers and information to the table so that the average Joe and everybody and their families and their brothers and so on down the line can actually benefit and be able to, basically have what nature's already provided for free. So, let's see. Okay, there we go. I hope I got that doggone one, right one. Anyway, yep, that's it. I think I just turned back on that little bloop noise every time a comment is in there. So, did burn it? All right, there we go. Sorry about that, folks. Not very good at multitasking when I'm trying to focus. So that's pretty much what went on. And that's pretty much why Shaziz Radio Network exists. You know, if you've ever listened to my past shows, you'll hear that we're not asking for any money. We're not asking for donations. We're not asking for anything that we are not willing to give. And so with that said, everything we do here is about free energy, and everything we do here is quite literally free. All the resource links and the website, you know, I fund the website personally, and that's the way it's going to be, because when I told the world I was going to give them free energy, it wouldn't be right for me to turn around and say, well, you know, here's some plans, buy my plans, and this is, you'll have it. No, that ain't the way it's going to go down. There's a lot of individuals out there like that crooked Keshi that runs around selling people bogus devices, or other people out there selling plans to free energy devices and stuff, you know. I can understand if you're going to build a device and you want to sell it for your labor and your deal like that, that's one thing. But if it's open source to begin with, then you put the plans out there for free to everybody and allow them the opportunity to be able to build it themselves or research it. And if you want to make money off of it, for those who aren't mechanically or scientifically or electrically inclined, then those folks that you can build it for and sell it to them and maybe give them a warranty, say, yeah, here it is, warranty as is, or we'll fix it if it goes broke or whatever. You know, that's the fair thing to do. So, I don't say free energy, here, come listen to me, give me money, and I'll do my research. No, I basically go out there and I find things that could be recycled. And when I find that I got something that's worthy of sharing with an anomaly or some sort of deal that's going on with a particular device, and maybe at high RPMs will put out a really good high voltage, high frequency, in which you could use to energize gas into the fourth state of matter, being plasma, which is really important because that's part of my technology that I'm trying to share with everybody. And so I go out and I find already existing parts off of the store shelves and things in scrap yards and old technologies, old electrical appliances, and I run them through the gamut. I run them through all kinds of different tests to see which are the best ones to use and what you could use in worst case scenario, such as a permanent magnet motor. Any permanent magnet motor out there could be turned into a generator. And some are better than other, like the permanent magnet ones that are brushless, those would be the best ones to get, like the Fisher & Paykel and the Samsung model washing machine motors. Those are generators right out of the gate without any modification. Hook it to something that'll spin it and you've got electricity. You know, put it on a pedal bike and you got electricity. So in the worst case scenario, you could charge your batteries up and run some lights if you had a blade on one of these or not. Ceiling fan motors, where you'd have to introduce some permanent magnet motors, or be able to run it almost like an alternator system on a vehicle where you're pulsing the primary intermittently and causing the thing to spin around, which then in turn would generate electricity as well. And technology as simple as induction, where you can tap a coil on there and catch the flyback, tap a coil on a battery and catch the flyback. The rotary switch design based off an idea from a commutator that would be almost like the equivalents of any electrical motor commutator, but refined to where it gets you the best power for your buck or whatever. And the rotary spark gap, such as what you would see in a distributor system in any of the older style motor vehicles or even in the modern day electronic ignition. See, all of these things, all of these anomalies are pieces of the puzzle when added together will give you so many ideas for whatever you might have available. See, I didn't just stop at finding one possible solution. Everything from static electricity, like when you study the Van de Graaff generator or the Wimshurst design or the Lord Kelvin design, all of these deals right here are basically tapping into nature's already showed energy, already proven energy. And where you go to from there is understanding on how to store that energy, how to use it on demand, the best methods by which to boost it up, like maybe using boost converters, the best way to change AC current into DC current, how to use electrical frequency in order to energize gas into the fourth state of matter being plasma. See, science says light is heat and heat is light, vice versa. So that means that if you have a light source going on, then there is heat involved in there. And depending on how you're actually doing this will determine on how much power input necessary, such as a resistive load. Like if you take nickel chromium wire, nichrome for short, it has a resistance to current flow, and so you know that a lot of current to this would cause this thing to get red hot. A lot of people use it for a lot of different applications, such as making wire cutters for styrofoam and such. Well, they're also used in certain types of heaters, like smaller heaters, like little 12-volt plugs or whatever, that you use this nichrome wire. When you put a current to it, it resists it and causes it to get hot. And the same thing would go with a tungsten element wire. Basically, you got coils of each, and you heat those up, and because of how many turns of the coil you got on there, how much resistance, it will determine on the wattage to input necessary, but they will get red hot and cover more surface area the more of this wire that you have out exposed to the atmosphere. Well, the thing about this particular wire and tungsten wire, which I have proven in my videos, is that with certain type frequencies, higher frequencies, you can resonate that wire and you can get it to get hot anyway without a lot of input. For example, I had a burnt out headlamp from a car. It was a halogen headlamp, and I decided I was going to use it for a vacuum spark gap because it was burnt out, it was already vacuumed, and all I had to do was use it to shoot a high voltage spike across to the other side to pulse my coils. Well, the side effect that I got when I did that, which I never realized was going to occur, was that that light bulb, even though the element was broken too, lit up. And Raymond, who was on here earlier, if he decides he wants to call back in or whatever, he can attest to that because he was there in person when I showed him. We lit a dead light bulb up with high frequency. And depending on the frequency range, you can light it up even higher. Hook it to an earth ground, you can light it up even higher. So all these technologies are little pieces of the puzzle put out there that when I'm prepared, and I think there's enough people paying attention, that I can actually pass this information out to these people who could then in turn pass it to more people, then that's when oshaziz.net will actually come online. It's there. It's already there. But it's not turned on, if you understand what I'm saying. There's information available ready for everybody and his brother. And so when it's all said and done, I will turn that puppy on, and then I will be done with my job, and I will have basically kept my word to the power company, which I've been doing all along anyway. But so that gives you a basic rundown of what the purpose for all this is. And I've caught a lot of grief from a lot of different individuals out there, trolls and chills or whatever you want to call them in the conspiracy world, and people who just don't want this information out there, or people who were indoctrinated or educated into believing the school book was the only method. And so they basically hindered the process. You know, I've contacted people who are really good with certain skill sets. And I told the story about the guy that he could build a two-stroke internal combustion engine from scratch. I mean, he's got all the machine equipment. He can mill and lathe and do everything necessary to build a working two-stroke motor. And so because of his skill set and his talents, I wanted to try to see if I could get him to humor me and help me build. And I would pay for it. Whatever labor or whatever materials that he needed, I just wanted him to help me build an engine specifically designed to run on water, pure distilled water. Of course, now, he didn't believe it was possible because of what he was taught in school. And basically, he made a video called Bullocks, which he didn't really, like, name me or anything in the video, but I knew exactly who he was talking about. And basically said that you can't run a car on water. You can't run an engine on water. And basically made a mockery out of everything that I said and tried to use school book physics to show why. Now, the laws of thermodynamics in the system that I'm basically talking about, they don't apply in the same sense that an internal combustion engine would apply. When you understand, which I do, exactly the inner workings of how, everything that's going on inside of an internal combustion engine, and the reason why the fuel and everything does what it does, and why it's so inefficient, and so on and so forth. If you have a knowledge of an internal combustion engine to the extent that I do, then you know what is possible and what isn't possible with that particular design. And so any engine could be designed to run off of any specific fuel. It could be engineered to run off of any specific fuel. Basic science says that the water is hydrogen and oxygen, and we know that the two separated are powerful forces, powerful gases. One's implosive, the other one's explosive. Question is, how do you efficiently get them into that stage? Well, Stan Myers pretty much did that back in the 70s, and he was able to run a dune buggy off of water technology, but he did it with a different process than electrolysis like everybody's trying to do today. He had specialized injectors that used high frequency, and he wasn't the only one that's ever done that. There was a individual some time after who was pretty much trying to sell his idea, which was pretty much already Stan Myers' idea, on how to burn water on demand. And so, it's not new technology. It's technology that's been available for a long time. But the method by which I'm proposing to actually build an internal combustion engine takes all the best of every single technology out there. Everything from compression ignition to vacuums, to compressor technology, both compression ignition and combustion technology, everything from thermoelectrics to induction heating, and so on and so forth, adding all of these physics into a working device that will utilize the water molecule and be able to use the power of that water molecule by understanding how that water molecule actually functions. See, water can't be compressed. A water liquid can't be compressed. But if the liquid is no longer liquid, if it's vaporized into steam, is now a gas. It's no longer a liquid and now can be compressed. So when you take and you heat water and you boil it, past its boiling temperature, which I believe is 212 degrees Fahrenheit at sea level, and it might be a little different somewhere else, but nonetheless, it's pretty well close to the same operating temperatures, the way that water is going to boil. Anything above that, you get superheated steam, and once you boil the water into steam, now you also building up pressure because you're building up gas. Well, now that this gas is separating itself, you can break it down even further. Using atomizers to break it down, using sonic vaporization technology to break it down yet even farther. And so now you have a gas that is primed, heated, and ready to go. Once you take this engine and you have an induction heating system that is heating everything up. It's heating the cylinder up. It's getting the cylinder up to over 300 degrees Fahrenheit. And so the moment that water makes its way around and turns in, gets heated, turns into steam, starts to atomize and then vaporize, and then is injected into the intake of the engine, as soon as that water hits that superheated metal inside there, it will instantaneously flash the steam, expanding that that gas yet even farther. And at a certain point, when the compression is basically working its way through, you will end up with compression ignition. Because when you separate the hydrogen and oxygen molecule, and when recombining back, they, for some reason, release an electrical charge. So, back in the old days, when the farmers ran their tractors, they get the tractors up to operating temperature, they begin to inject small quantities of water into the tractor, and basically run that sucker almost like a steam engine, and they would save money on fuel. That's not a new concept. It's been done before. They even used it in airplane technology for when a plane was beginning to stall. The engine was already hot. They'd inject small quantities of water, give that thing a boost, and fire it back up. Start running at normal again. And they knew that they couldn't run it very long like that because of the way that it was being done, that they would blow the engine up because it's too much power. So, once again, not new technology. Everything that I've been telling everybody about has been researched, has been backed by science, peer-reviewed. It's proven technology, proven science based off of basic science and basic physics. Everything that I've been saying all along is all that. And so for these individuals to come out there and tell me how stupid I am and why this won't work and you don't do nothing, they're just not paying attention because, you know, maybe I'm getting on here and I'm talking about the same things on a radio show and hoping it's going to sink into somebody's mind and they're going to take and run with this. Well, to me, that's doing something. To me, putting a website together, that's doing something. And all the YouTube videos showing all these little anomalies, that's doing something. I've invested a lot of time, money, and effort into sharing information and trying to bring those willing to share information together on the table. That's what I do here. And I keep inviting everybody via my YouTube channel, which I haven't done a video over there for about a month, you know. It may be time for me to do a new video, but I had to kind of take a break because it was getting really frustrating every time I would try to do something and either YouTube would censor it or they would demonetize it or whatever. You do all kinds of crazy stuff. And the monetization over there is a flat-out joke because if you make a penny off of that video a year, then you're lucky as all get out. So you ain't getting rich off YouTube unless they choose that you're going to get rich off of YouTube. It's not happening. They make the lion's share of everything and everybody else. If as long as you say what they want you to say, then you're monetized. When you say what they don't want you to say, then you're demonetized. So you're basically by proxy being suppressed. And even on the views, you know, if you got 8,340 some odd subscribers and you're only getting a couple hundred views per video, then that would be questionable, especially when you're talking about a very interesting subject such as alternative energy that the whole world claims to want. Free energy devices. You know, and there's people out there faking them. There's people out there perpetrating frauds on each other to get video views, and people out there supposedly debunking everything out there. And so you're up against the wall trying to share free energy, and you got to figure out different terminologies in order to say it so that people will still want to be able to look at it, but it don't get, you know, attacked. And it doesn't matter. Energy is free. If you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it. But maybe I should call it efficiency, making things more efficient, because that's basically what you'd be doing anyway. But nonetheless, it's a real struggle doing what I do. Hold on a second. Had to get a drink of water. So anyway, I sit there. I'm reaching out to everybody. I'm trying to build the dream team. And I'm trying to bring the brilliant minds to the table so that myself and them together can troubleshoot and pull our resources and build things. And I'm really not good at that because bringing people together must be my weak point because I'm still not able to get the dream team together. I was close one time, but that got blown out of water by some egos that decided they knew more than everybody and his brother and basically caused a lot of problems and I lost a lot of friends. Not to mention the fact that because of the terminology, there's certain people out there that believe themselves to be so highly educated that if you don't use their terminology, well, then I guess you just don't get what you want. You don't get things accomplished. So, they don't want to be your friend anymore. They basically bail on you. And I'd even had some of my friends in my closest circles say, oh, nobody wants to talk to you no more because you're going crazy. Well, yeah, you'd go crazy too if you tried to put out the same message for a long time and try to help people out and all you got was a rash in return. You'd be frustrated. You'd be a little crazy yourself. Because I'm trying to give people, you know, the ideas and everything necessary to basically solve the problem what they said they had all along. And, you know, I've had friends tell me I'm on a soapbox. Well, I find that really offensive. You know, I hate it when people say that. And I'm sitting here trying to type another message on Facebook finally because it finally came up. So, when people tell me that stuff, they degrade my message that I'm trying to post out, you know, and that I'm trying to share with everybody, and they show me nothing more than disrespect because I'm trying to do a good thing, and they're trying to basically mock me or degrade me right in front of everybody. And I've had friends argue with me over subjects that should be basic common sense. You know, and I'm not there to argue with nobody. We can agree to disagree in a respectful manner. But, you know, that's what the deal is. And we got every single piece of the puzzle, quite literally, every single piece of the puzzle necessary to build the perfect machines. When the world's ready to do that, then we'll have to get people together. But via the internet, it's probably not going to be the way. Now, I've been able to reach out to a lot of people from a lot of different countries, and there's a lot of individuals that I really miss talking into that were my friends, I thought were my friends. And their actions showed later that they weren't never a friend to begin with. They were there for whatever they could get and then leave. That's it. And as far as I'm concerned, in the alternative energy community, there's only one of them that stayed with me through the whole deal. You know, and you know it makes things hard, but I'm not gonna cry over spilt milk. You know, if these folks don't want to be my friend anymore, that's all right because maybe their research will pan out, maybe they'll work out for them. But you know, the world still doesn't have what they claimed that they wanted all along, and so I'm still at work doing it, and I got plenty of information to share, and I've got some surprises coming for people that's gonna blow their doors off when it's time. That's what mad science is all about, in a nutshell. And through all the trials and tribulations, and toasters blowing breaker switches, and network interference, and computers going up and down, duct tape and bailing wire keep Shazam's radio going. And the will to keep a word that I give to the power company and to the people of this planet. I'm not trying to sell you any free energy device. I'm trying to show you how to build one. And that's as simple as that. We've got every single piece of the puzzle necessary to resolve all the so-called energy crisis. There is no shortage, and there has never been any shortage of any resource necessary, even in the fossil fuel or any other possible thing that you can talk about that has to do with any existing technology. This world has an overabundance of resources available. And if used properly and wisely, we could build the perfect systems, the perfect efficiency to work in perfect harmony with nature. And this is the message that I've been trying to get out to everybody and his brother throughout the entire land, the whole world, for so long. And for that, somebody wants to shoot the messenger. I know the power companies want to shoot the messenger because they don't want that kind of information going on out there. But see, here's the thing. Probably the reason why I'm still alive is because I haven't presented to the public a working device of free energy, self-contained, self-looping, and self-powering, you know, where other people who had designed certain systems that was going to start to eat into the wallet of the fuel industry or the power company. They all met with bad circumstances. They all met with all kinds of resistance because of the power structure that's in place right now for these power companies, power industries. And so, if you want to get a device out there, you got to teach the people how to make it. You got to teach them piece by piece. You got to show them piece by piece. If you have an understanding of how magnets function, if you have an understanding of how energy travels, then the little light bulb is going to go off in your head, and you will be the next inventor. You will be the next brilliant mind that will probably beat everybody else to the whole free energy device that can be proven once and for all. And that's the whole point. Putting the pieces of the puzzle on the table and picking up these pieces of puzzle that you find laying around everywhere from existing technology that has been around for generations or decades or whatever, you know, for hundreds if not thousands of years, the technology already available. Now it takes a person who can step back and look at all these pieces of the puzzle laying on the table and say, look, that piece right over there will fit with that one, and that one will fit with that one. And if everybody picks up a piece of the puzzle and they start putting these pieces of the puzzle together, then everybody at that table has the big picture. That's the brilliance of the plan. The brilliance of the plan and the simplicity of it is together, there ain't nothing you can't accomplish if you choose it. You know, just like Henry Ford that Raymond quoted earlier, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. That's it. If you don't believe it's possible, then you ain't going to try. And I keep trying to be a motivational speaker to some extent and a teacher, and you know, none of which is my best attributes. But I understand mechanics in my mind. I understand the physics and the science of how every single machine on this planet functions. And I can look at these machines and I can watch them work and I can tell you how to make that machine better. How to make it more efficient. How to make this thing, you know, where you don't have this problem over here. If you understand why it is that your oil in your engine gets dirty, then you know how that you can go about keeping it from getting dirty. See, the modern day engineering of the actual ring systems, the oil rings and the compression rings on the actual piston itself, those have a purpose. And when the combustion occurs, these rings will actually, because they set in there loosely, they will actually expand and produce a seal which helps the pressure. You don't want them completely sealed from start to finish because on the upstroke you need to be able to release that compression just enough to allow that piston to go up to the top. But once the ignition occurs, now you need a seal. And so when that combustion occurs, it causes those rings to expand out up against the cylinder wall, which makes it to where now all that power is forcing that piston down. And so you need some compression to get this thing started. So the rings are in there. They're sealed up enough to give some compression. They're just not sealed up enough to force the to make the where you're actually having to fight that piston to go up. And so as it's going up on the compression stroke, they're loose on the way up. When the combustion occurs, it spreads them apart and seals it to keep all that force forcing that thing down as hard as possible. Well, in the process of that, some carbon blow-by actually makes it past the three sets of rings, like in a two-stroke motor, a two-stroke engine. And so when that carbon actually makes it past, it gets down into the oil. Little bits of carbon gets down into the oil and starts to turn the oil black. Gets that carbon buildup inside there that your filter filters out so that you are all circulating fresh, cleanest oil possible around all your moving parts. Well, if you design a system from the get-go to keep those rings sealed from the beginning to the end without scarring up that cylinder, and had another method by which you could actually vent out some of the compression so you're not fighting against the piston going up, then from that point, you never get your oil dirty again. Because when the combustion happens, it's going to press the cylinder down, but there's not going to be any carbon blow-by in order to get into your oil. So as long as there's no shavings from bad parts or cruddy carbon getting down into the oil, crudding it up, then there's no need for even an oil filter. So the technology is available, the pieces of the puzzle are available, and as far as that goes, once you get the combustion part understood, to where when we're injecting fuel into an internal combustion engine, we're injecting it into a small stream, all right? A really small stream inside there. Well, when you're igniting that and it slams the piston down on the upstroke, this thing is going up and down so fast that the harder you mash on the gas, you should be putting less fuel into that cylinder because you don't have enough time to burn the quantity of fuel that is being injected into that cylinder. And the power doesn't come from the stream of fuel. It comes from the vapor and the explosive force of that vapor being ignited and pushing that piston down. So the harder you mash on the gas to go faster, the less fuel you should be putting into that. But the way that they compensate for the inefficient way that they do now is they ram more air into there with it to hopefully help you get a better burn. You're still, because it's going up and down so fast, by the time the exhaust stroke valve opens up and allows the exhaust to escape, you're spitting fuel out the exhaust. Even in the most highly tuned engine on the market today, you're wasting more fuel than you're using. As that fuel's making its way back around through the system out the exhaust, it's going through what's called a catalytic converter, and some of the fuel's getting reburnt, and some of it's actually getting shipped back around and being reused. But the gases from these are actually, most of it's escaping out the exhaust, because it's inefficient. But if you got a proper burn from the get-go, and you're burning all the fuel as opposed to just the portions of the fuel, you don't even have no carbon blow-by to worry about to get down into your oil. So even the standard ring systems would make it where the oil would not have to be changed nearly as often as it is now. If you're getting a tiny, tiny bit of carbon blow-by every so many miles, then that's going to be a whole lot more than getting a whole lot of carbon blow by in less miles, if you understand what I'm trying to say. So the laws of physics aren't being violated, basic science is being adhered to, and everything that science says is possible is being used to make this the most efficient machine possible. The water engine that I'm talking about, it is possible. It is more than possible. It is definitely possible. If you understand how a steam engine works, and you understand how compression ignition works, if you understand air compressor technology, that when you compress a gas or air, it gets hot from the compression, And so that's why an air compressor head is something that you do not want to touch after that compressor has been going for a while. And a lot of them have their own oiling system in there to keep the piston lubricated and the bearings and all that because of the temperature ranges at which these things will actually run at. But now that you know that, that you can compress air and build up heat, the time for the induction heater portion of it is only just like the starter portion of the glow plugs portion of the diesel engine. When you're running a diesel engine, you're only running those glow plugs to start it up. The rest of the time, once the cylinders get up to temperature from the combustion going on inside there, the burning of the fuel, it's a little bit different with compression ignition and the combustion portion. Diesel engines more of a burn, and gasolines are more of an explosion inside there. So once you get it to that point where you got those cylinders up, you don't need the glow plugs anymore. So that's electricity that you don't have to use in order to keep that engine running. You just got to keep the engine hot, because if it's hot from the compression, then at certain points you got to start cooling the engine down, and that's where your radiator system comes into play to keep the thing at a certain comfortable operating position. And if you can regulate that temperature good enough, if you keep that engine running at the optimum temperature where it's not too hot and not too cold, then you got a perfect engine going on that will not fail. The parts won't fail. The pistons and everything won't reach their thermal breakdown. There won't be no scarring of the cylinders. And to engineer an engine that I am talking about is so ridiculously simple, it's ludicrous. Now, if a guy like me can figure this out, you got to tell me why it is that the guys and gals out there who have access to the best machinery can't figure this out. I don't believe it. But nonetheless, they were told it wasn't possible, so maybe it isn't possible to them because they don't understand basic science or physics. And so it don't get done. They believe themselves to be more educated than the average Joe, and so it's not possible. And your average Joe is their worst enemy. Because every time I talk about these kind of subjects, I get individuals that come to there, well, you know, if that could be done, they'd already be doing it, and yeah, whatever, you know, that kind of stuff, which is ridiculous because it once you mention the fact that the oil companies don't want this out there, then the same ignorance would come out and say, well, you know, that's just a conspiracy theory. No, it ain't. It's fact. If you're in business to sell drugs, you don't want nobody giving away the cure for free. If you're in business to sell electricity, you don't want nobody giving away electricity for free. If you're in any kind of business selling any kind of product, you don't want anybody giving away a better product for free. Or even the same product for that matter, for free. So it's not a conspiracy, it's common sense. Industry is going to protect itself at every single turn, and if you start to dig into their wallet, they're going to send every resource that they have available and snively whiplash behind the barn to burn down your house or whatever. That's what they do. But, you know, if the average Joe would get their act together, we would resolve every single issue on this planet. No ifs, ands, or buts. That's it. It's that simple. See, when you wonder why and who ain't doing nothing, some of the folks that used to be here on Mad Science that don't come over anymore because they don't like me, they're not doing nothing. They're hindering the process because they have fell for the lie. They fell for the sham. They believe themselves to be so knowledgeable that they are willing to lose a friendship. Or maybe we weren't never even friends to begin with. Maybe they just wanted something. Or maybe they just wanted to disrupt. Regardless of the fact, it's their loss. But I'm not giving up. Because at some point in this game, free energy is going to make it to the market. It's just the question is, will the people control it or will the man control it? That's it. Are you going to buy your air to breathe? Are you going to buy the sunlight so you can stay warm? Are you going to buy the water to drink? Well, in most cases, people already do that. You can live right next to a river or an ocean or a stream and still be on the city water. I'm going to buy the water because the city, the creek is polluted. Well, clean the doggone creek out for Pete's sake. All right, filter that water because the science and technology's there and you don't have to buy water anymore. You wonder why I call it mad science? It's because of that. It's because of environmentalists. Environmentalists are the laziest, most disrespectful, most uneducated individuals on this planet. They will stand there with a wooden stick and a paper sign saying, save the trees. They're not out there planting trees. They're not out there doing anything productive. They're out there complaining and crying and pissing and moaning because they want their way. And that's it. They're not fixing nothing. And for all the people out there who have any kind of thing against any kind of environmental pollution, if you're not out there helping clean it up, you ain't got no reason to complain. Now, if you just want to send money in to a place and they'll go out and clean it for you, well, I guess that's all right, but you still did nothing. You took the easy way out and you paid somebody else to do your portion of the work. If your environment is polluted and you want answers, you want solutions, and I'll even go as far as to say it doesn't matter whether we're talking nuclear power, coal-fired power plants, any kind of internal combustion engine, any kind of toxins in the water, chemistry or whatever, anything these doom and gloomers always preach and holler about that is destroying our planet, we have solutions for every single problem that they can come up with and then some. And when we're ready to use it, we'll live in a clean environment. And if we never use it, then the masses will basically pollute our fishbowl to the extent where we're all pay the price. That's it. That's why I call it mad science. Mainstream scientists lie to you. The so-called mythbusters lie to you. It's shameful. And the mainstream media lies to you. Your government lies to you. And your brothers and sisters around the globe lie to you. Everybody and his brother's lying to you. And they lie to you sometimes just by parroting and repeating propaganda that somebody put out there to keep you under control. They find ways to separate you via race, color, creed, whatever. Political ideology, religious views, or whatever. They find ways to make you hate each other. And that's how they stay in power. I ain't afraid of the Illuminati. I'm not afraid of the Freemasons. I'm not even afraid of the government. I'm not afraid of the corporations or the crooked individuals out there. I'm not in fear for my life. What fears me above and beyond everything else out there is the people. The average Joe. The way that they're going to react. And the lack of concern until everything catches on fire, nobody picks up a bucket. That's it. And if you say you want the world fixed, and people come forth to give you the solutions necessary, and you mock and ridicule and treat them disrespectfully, then you get what you get. You get what we all got right now, a world in chaos, and people trying to figure out ways to go to war. That's it. Because war makes money. War keeps the fat man fat. War keeps the elite in power. It keeps you oppressed. And they love it. They love it. Go out there and protest the war. They're going to make money. Go out there and help your brothers and sisters. They're not going to make money. Go out there and harm your brothers and sisters. They're going to make money. Go out there and do whatever it is that you can rotten to the world. They're going to make money. You can pollute the world, and they're going to make money. You can do all kinds of terrible deeds. They're going to make money. That's the way it works. That's the way they like it. I'm going to try to send a message over to somebody here. Alright, so basically what we do here is I've done explain today on today's show, and I'm going back into my old style research, which is plasma technology and ways to generate high frequency energy as efficiently with as little input as possible. So, I wonder, let me throw on a quick tune. I'm going to see something real quick. You're listening to Mad Science. Stay tuned.
Yeah. crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Yeah, can you describe the ruckus, sir? Okay, we're back. Sorry for that interruption there, but it was pretty good tunes anyway. Anyway, I was trying to answer a question to Giorgio Armani, one of my friends out there on Skype and all that. Well, basically the question was about overunity and zero point. And those two terminologies right there are kind of a misnomer. When you talk about overunity, getting out more than you put in, then the laws of physics start to say that it's not possible. Which, in reality, if you're only putting 12 volts in and you're getting thousands of volts out, then at that aspect, you are getting more power out than you put in. But as far as current-wise and stuff like that, you know, you have losses the higher the voltage goes, unless you do certain things that you have losses involved in there. And that's what people have to understand in order to be able to come up with an overunity device that actually goes hand in hand with the laws of physics. Now, the laws of thermodynamics, which I completely and utterly despise because they're always being misquoted in the wrong fashion to try to say, basically try to debunk zero point or overunity or perpetual motion, saying that these things are not possible. Which I highly disagree with. But nonetheless, let's just humor them. We're only talking about free energy. Okay? Energy is free. And if you haven't, if you're not able to find free energy, then you're simply not looking hard enough for it. Now, the methods by which you use it, now we get into the overunity and the zero point, where you're not putting any in. Now, I showed in my video series called Free Thinkers, if you paid attention to what's going on there, I showed you zero-point energy. Quite literally, I am putting nothing into that, and that thing to this very day is still doing its job. All right, it's pulsing a probably about 7 or 8 foot Tesla coil, sending a signal back to itself, picking up radio frequencies, it's picking up solar power, it's picking up thermoelectrics, earth battery technology, chemistry, there's AC capacitors involved, there's DC capacitors involved, LED lighting system that has been on since day one that is still to this very day on. It runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and I am putting absolutely no power to the system. It does exactly what it was designed to do, and it was built out of junk and recycled materials just to prove a point. I think if I'm going to do my next video, is going to be I will go out there and do a follow-up of this particular deal. I'll show you that it's still running, and then I will actually explain to you in detail its actual purpose. And if you go back and look at the video from the beginning, take note of the size of the trees in the background, alright? So that when I actually put out the last video of the Free Thinker series, take note of the size of the trees today. And then figure out, you know, some rough calculations, how long would it take for those trees to go from the size that they were in the first video to the size that they are in the last video. And that will give you an indication and hardcore proof that this thing has been running that entire time. So, in this system, batteries were used as capacitors. old dead batteries who are no longer, they don't even have electrolyte in them. They're dry. They're dead, dry as a bone. The only dielectric between the plates is the atmosphere itself. And so if you're putting energy into this particular capacitor, what is the actual dielectric breakdown voltage of these two plates, which would be pretty extremely high because it's got to jump all the way across the gap. And so you'd have to have thousands of volts in order to be able to leap across that gap. And so with that said, the process stays the same, and it will continuously stay charged. From everything that is going on in that system, from the wind power, I got windmills turning to the right, I got windmills turning to the left, I got windmills vertical, horizontal, and I've got a static electric generator system. When the wind blows around, it basically produces static electricity. I've got a negative ion generator, and all of these things working in conjunction with each other, an antenna system to pick up any stray RF frequency, using germanium diodes, which are really sensitive to radio waves, and basically taking every bit of power from the dirt to the sky to the air to the rain and heat from the sun. Excuse me. I choked myself up. I got to take a drink. Everything that nature's doing is being utilized to add power to the system. And when it's dark outside, it's still working. When it's cold outside, it's still working. When it's rainy outside, it's still working. Windy, no wind. Sun, no sun. It's continuously working. And has been since the beginning of the video series, Freethinkers. Go look at it. I keep asking the questions in there. And I keep waiting for people to get to figure it out. We have the capability right now to take all the forces of nature and harness them and guide them, the energy, to wherever it is we want to go. See, the laws of physics state that energy can neither be created nor destroyed, so where's it go? And even in inefficient, because of losses, where does that energy go? Well, in that system, it goes right into the storage bank. In that system, there are no losses. In that system, it has maintained itself for all these years. So, with that said, we have the technology available to quite literally design perfect systems that will give us power 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for decades to come without even touching anything. Once we put the system in place, it will do the job for us, and only time itself and nature, the forces of nature, will be what deteriorates it. So every once in a while, you might have to go clean down some terminals or clean up some copper, or maybe replace something that has over the years biodegraded or deteriorated. That's what the Freethinkers video showed the world. So I've more than proved free energy. More than proved it. But I'm not done yet. See, I operate by what I like to call Operation Overkill. If it only takes a firecracker, I like to use a nuke, alright, to make sure that it is irrefutable. That there is no ifs, ands, or buts. And if you understand what you're seeing in that video, there is no debunking it. It's based on solid science. It's based on solid physics. It's based on everything that they did not want you to pay attention to. And so the fact is, you have been looking at, if you've watched my video series, Freethinkers, you've been looking at zero point. Now, as far as over unity, getting out more than you put in, well, you've been watching that as well. Because I didn't put nothing in. And I'm getting more out than I ever put in. All I did was put the parts together. And it's doing its own job. It's taking everything that nature has provided, and it's putting the stuff together. And charging batteries. And doing a job. It's keeping some lights on. But to take this doggone thing to the extreme, to where we actually harness nature in the most nature-friendly manner, perfect harmony with nature, is doable. We can do this on a large scale where we can take all the best resources from all the different places. You might live in an area where it's so incredibly windy that you've got more wind power than you could ever use in a trillion, trillion, trillion lifetimes. We can take with our infrastructure and we can send some of the energy that you generated, what you're not using, you could send down the pipeline over to storage banks that would distribute it through everybody else's use and so on. If you live in a place where there's a lot of thermal activity, such as any volcanic thermal vents or even thermal springs for that matter, same concept would apply. The infrastructure is already in place. We could utilize energy from where there are volcanoes, and we can send excesses over to areas that don't have it. If you live in the desert, you got thermal electricity. If you live in any different type of climate, we have a solution for every single portion of every single type of climate, using every single type of resource under the sun, including the sun, and then some. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. The only reason why this is not being done is because people want to make money off of you. And the average Joe, who may have the best of intentions, thinking they are so overeducated that they believe themselves to be smarter than everybody and his brother who comes out with an idea or a solution and wants to knock them down or try to debunk them or make themselves sound smarter. I know individuals who are like incredible at chemistry and incredible at a lot of things, have a lot of talent, but their personal skills suck. They are terrible people because they only want what they can get, and their egos are their worst enemy. And those folks, they said they ain't going to be my friend no more. They don't want to talk to me. They don't want to be my friend no more. That's all right. I don't need friends. I got family. I got you. And so that you know, I'm not going to cry over that. You know, am I sad because some of my friends won't ever talk to me again? Yeah, because when I develop a friendship, it's a lifetime friendship. I'm a loyal friend, and I love everybody. But I'm not going to allow them to steal from the rest of the good people out there in the world what I have to offer. Do I have every single answer by myself? No. All these answers that I provided for you came from you. It came from everybody. It came from all the brilliant resources out here on this worldwide web that we find ourselves having access to, which at someday we might not. But all the research, years of research, were from other people's hard work and labors, and I'm pointing it out. I'm saying, look, go look at this guy. See what he's doing? Look at that guy over there. Look at that lady over there. All right, look, these bring this over here. All right, take these pieces of the puzzle, put them together, and you got your free energy. You know, these people that tried to get rich by patenting and selling and marketing, they went up against a system, a beast system that is so strong and so embedded in the world psyche that they didn't have a choice when they started. But I'm going about it a different way. I'm not trying to get rich. I don't want no money off of the deal. All I want to do is show you where it is and how to get it and how to use it and understand that you have it right now. You have every single piece of the puzzle necessary, and in your junkyards, in your scrap heaps, and even in the appliances that you've already owned, that you already own and utilize, that you pay somebody else to send you power to, those in worst case scenarios become your best friend, because you could dismantle it and you could rework it. You could get your doggone refrigerator to work off of 12 volts DC and a little 40 watt solar panel put out enough power to charge a battery bank that would run an inverter that would run that 12-volt DC 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even when the sun wasn't out. So as far as survival, mad science will teach you how to survive if you're willing to pay attention. It's that simple. These refrigerators and freezers we got, they require 120 volts AC, or in some places 220 volts AC, in order to produce the power to run the motors and all that. But these motors, the cycle that's going on in there, the way that the HVAC system works, the heat exchange portion of it, it doesn't require that much voltage in order to produce that type of effect to get the heating and cooling. You don't need all the current watts and amps that everybody keeps attacking me over. If you understand how to do it, you can do the same job for less input, thus forth increasing the efficiency of those appliances up so high that you're barely even paying an electric bill. If what I'm saying isn't true, then you go tell me how it is that you got a refrigerator as tall as you, and then they sell mini refrigerators that are smaller than you that will do the same doggone job. And the reason why I put my redneck hot tub video out there was to prove a point. Not because it was a cool hot tub and it was only running off a coffee pot, but that one little bit of element, it took longer to get it to the certain temperature, but once you got it up to that temperature, it only take a tiny bit to maintain it. So its efficiency got better the longer that you ran it, the more efficient it became. And it was able to heat that water so hot you couldn't sit in it while it was snowing outside. It was below zero, and Oshaziz was sitting in the hot tub drinking a bottle of wine in the dead of winter. And underneath that deal, no insulation. It was open to the atmosphere on the top. It wasn't in any kind of enclosure. So by rights, the water should have been frozen when it's below zero. Instead, it was hot, and Oshaziz is sitting out there in his shorts in the comfort of a hot swimming pool. A hot tub. And getting out of that thing was the nightmare, because once you get out of a hot tub, it don't take long for that hot water to get cold. But as long as you're putting energy through the system continuously, it doesn't take much to maintain the temperature once you get it there. This is what I've been trying to say. This is the purpose for a lot of the videos that I did. So, maybe it takes you 4 hours to gear it up. But for days and years afterwards, you can maintain that energy coming in. As long as that trickle keeps coming in, the water temperature can never drop. It takes longer to heat up a large volume of cold water. But once you get that cold water up, all you got to do is keep it agitated. And that's that. So utilizing that same concept, you can make your hot water heater systems more efficient. And unless you drain that hot water tank down to where it's now cold water, it'll take you 4 hours to get it back up to heating again. But once you got it up to heating and just use a little bit at a time, it'll stay the most efficient heating system you got. And it ran off the equivalence of what it cost to run a coffee pot for a day. That's that. So yeah, as far as overunity and zero point, as long as you ain't mincing words and mixing, twisting terminology, then yes, it is possible. But if you try to look into laws of thermodynamics, which were deliberately set in place to try to convince you that things were not possible, then you will fail. Once again, Henry Ford said, if you think you can, you can't. You know, you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. That's the most brilliant statement out there. Because it's true. If you don't believe it's possible, then it ain't possible. And as far as efficiency, when you the people out there are ready, minds like myself and other brilliant and other researchers out there will be more apt to flock together when you support them. When you say, let's get it done, then we'll get it done. When you actually join in on the process of sharing resources and knowledge with each other, then we will accomplish every single thing that you seek. No ifs, ands, or buts. We're here in the year 2018, and you've heard me say this on the Mad Science Show, you've heard me say it on the Knights of the Round Table, you've heard me say it on YouTube and every other place under the sun. We're here in the year 2018, and if there's somebody who can't get a fresh drink of water on this planet, then we failed. If there's somebody homeless on this planet, then we failed. If there's somebody starving on this planet, then we failed. If there's somebody sick on this planet, then we failed. Because this planet has provided overabundance of resource in order to basically house, clothe, feed, and heal the sick and comfort every single living soul and then some. And for those individuals out there that preach overpopulation, you need to shut up. Because you're not only ignorant, there are so many words that I can't say on air that I can say about a person with your mindset. The world is not overpopulated. It has never been overpopulated. And according to science itself and truth, and as much we have available to us, this planet could survive 10 times its population and still feed and house and clothe everybody if used properly. No ifs, ands, or buts. And I will debate that with the smartest individual on this planet. I don't care how smart you think you are, how much of a science guy you are, how college educated, and if you got 100,000 degrees in every single direction, if you got the guts to stand face to face with Shaziz and debate me on any subject related to science and technology and all this kind of stuff, bring it on. This world is a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. We have every single resource necessary. There is nothing lost in the entire system. It recycles itself over and over and over and over and over again. Everything that has existed on this earth still exists here to this very day. It's just changed chemistry and shape. So either way, we ain't running out of nothing. And when people figure that out, and they figure out how to use what we got efficiently, then we won't be waiting for nature to clean something up. We'll be helping with the process, because we are enlightened and we have the knowledge to know how to clean up our water and our air. And we know how to grow things. We know which plants are the best to use. And it doesn't matter. If you're going to burn firewood out there, it doesn't matter. Because once you burn the firewood and you extract the energy, you waste a lot of energy in the process, we could make that even more efficient. We could make it 100% efficient where there's absolutely no waste. And even after the firewood's burned, you still have two fuel sources. You still have 10 or more separate products that you can make from the soot, the ashes, and stuff that's left over from burning firewood. And every bit of what you just burned or used energy-wise or material-wise still exists. You didn't destroy anything. It's still there. And if I'm wrong, then the laws of physics are wrong that state that energy can neither be created nor destroyed, but it can be changed. So you didn't lose nothing. You just used it. And you used the forces of nature. You know what materials do this. You know what materials do that. You know which ones are cool, which ones are insulating, which ones are heat resistant, and so on and so forth. You got all that knowledge right in front of your very eyes. At your fingertips. And so, when the world's ready to have what they claim they wanted, then we'll get together and do it. It's as simple as that. You know, in the meantime, we're going to talk about conspiracies. We're going to talk about, government corruption. We're going to talk about how terrible life is, and we're going to watch people suffer in this world needlessly. And it'd be business as usual. I personally want to see a world that is so much better than what we have to deal with. I want to see a world left behind for our children that is so much better than what we've had to deal with. And I believe it's possible. I more than believe it's possible. I know it's possible. If you want free energy, if you want over unity, if you want zero point energy, then it's as simple as doing it. That's it. Because if you can't find free energy in the world that I've just explained to you, if you can't find a fresh glass of water, and you can't find the right medicine, and you can't find a way to get along with each other without all the differences and the labels that you've been attacked with, then you simply didn't pay attention to mad science. And as far as science, if you don't understand what I just said, you didn't pay attention in science class. But it's not too late. I'll show you and teach you every single thing that I know, and you can show me and teach me every single thing that you know, and together we'll be those pieces of the puzzle that make up the big picture that make this world so such a better place. There's a guy out there that developed the energy drink. I've tried to get a hold of him over and over and over again. I don't want his money. He's rich. He's got a lot of money to offer. But he said he's interested in ideas. I'd like to talk to the man, just to have a conversation with the man. I think his name's Manoj or something like that. I'm not going to ask him for money. Not asking anybody out there for anything, but this is a man that does have a lot of resources that he would potentially be more likely to take ideas and run with them. But I can't get him on the phone. I can't get him on Skype. So if there's somebody out there listening, because they say there's like 6 degrees of separation, every 6 people know just about everybody and his brother who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, so you probably know somebody who knows this particular person who can say, hey, why don't you give old crazy haired Shazez a call? He's got some things to talk to you about. And I think a few minutes of his time, that'd be one big player on the board that could actually get some things accomplished. Or if you know somebody in some sort of big old environmentalist movement, have them contact me. I'd love to talk to them. Not going to ask them for money either. Not going to ask them to do anything for me. I just want them to hear me out. It's as simple as that. If you got anybody out there who is of any influence or even not influence, even somebody that you know is really smart, but they don't ever get to talk to anybody, bring them here. That's what the platform's for. To build the dream team, to make things happen, to get things accomplished. That's what it's all about. So, I don't know what else to say, folks. I have begged and pleaded for people to share links with this network. Share links for people, help them grow as well. Share links for all the different affiliated networks and any other things that you find on this deal. Share the resource page link that Stephen Gibbons took the time to do. Also, while you're up there, attend the University of Mad Science and get your diploma. Yeah. If you want to be a mad scientist, then you want to fix the world. If you want to be a mainstream scientist, you want money in your pocket from the government. That's it. That's the difference. Mad Science. I posted a link quite some time. I'm going to go ahead and repost it into the chat room. If anybody out there has the capability of printing me a shirt like this, I will pay you for it and your time. And I probably could do this myself. There's other silk screening methods or whatever. But, and there's actually companies out there, but they want you to order so many of them, it's ridiculous. But the phrase that's on the front of this shirt, I would like to see go far. Yeah, darn it. View image. There we go. Okay. Sometimes it's hard to do and talk at the same time. Alright, folks. I'm going to post that link to this shirt in there in the chat room. And if you draw it on a piece of paper with a Sharpie or a pencil or a crayon and hang it at a wall at your laundromat or your local bulletin board, this is the message I want to get out to people. Dad, burn it? Why is he to keep doing this? Oh, I know why. Huh. Do-do-do-do. Sound is off. Okay. Alright. So anyway, this is the message I want to get out to people. And what it says on the front of it: mad science is the key to the truth about free energy. Ask me why. That's it. And it's got www.shazizradio.com. The reason why I like this so much is because it opens a dialogue. It gets people talking. And that's what we need. We need people talking. We need people communicating with each other and talking about all these different potentials of energy that we could be utilizing, and to bring them here so we can share even more information with them of things that are possible. So yeah, if somebody out there got time and the equipment to make me one of those shirts and sell it to me, I'd be appreciative. I'd like to get one. I will wear it everywhere I go, just so that people will ask me why. Why is mad science the key to truth about free energy? And I'll tell them why it is. You know, somebody who was a marketing entrepreneur, I guess that's what you'd call it, marketing expert, might tell me I need to be selling stuff. Well, I'm not into selling stuff. I'm a terrible salesman. I don't try to sell nothing. I just try to share. That's all I want. So, wherever we go from there, that's that. Do-do-do-do-do. Hopefully that'll show up. I just posted it on Facebook as well. Huh. Alright, folks, well, that pretty much wraps it up. You're probably tired of hearing me rant for a while. Rant and rave. That's another one. I hate that. Rant, rave. Everybody wants to degrade you by telling you stuff like you're standing on a soapbox or you're ranting. And I can't stand that. Drives me insane. So, with that said, we got the answers. When everybody chooses to use them, we'll get it done. Been listening to Mad Science, everybody. Peace and love. Take care.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.